It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes, we back. You know what I mean? In the June boom. You know, no gloom, just the boom in the June. Getting to it halfway through this bitch. Getting in the stride, you know?
Well, you sound like 50th anniversary of hip hop, but what
you hey, man. Yes, yes, y'all. Yeah. You don't stop.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm enjoying all that interest. Everybody throwing it back to some of that old stuff. You know what I'm saying? I put on some Treacherous Street the other day. Like, damn, that nigga Mo D was fly before he was cool Mo D. When he was cool Mo D in Treacherous Street, he was fly then. That nigga was saying some crazy shit back then. You know what I'm saying? So for him to turn into a modern rapper alongside like a LL, when LL was like the young cat who just kicked it open and took the throne from Run DMC, it's just making it a whole lot more impressive. Because, you know, when Treacherous 3 was out, that was for music videos and all that was very popular. So you didn't really see him. You heard some of the songs, but it was a group. So it wasn't just identified, oh, that's cool Mo D, even though you heard those words. So, you know, when I was listening to some of that Treacherous 3 stuff the other day, I was like, damn, that's just way impressive to be still relevant. That was like 10, 15 years later in the rap game when a lot of cats came and went. You know what I'm saying? Never was able to make that transition to the modern style of rap once like LL came.
That's interesting. Well, a couple things. One, I didn't realize that. First off, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I knew Kool Moe Dee was in the Treacherous 3. I think I'd heard that before, but I didn't really. That felt like some new information. I got to go back and listen to the Treacherous 3, even the Cold Crush, you know what I mean? Funky 4 plus 1, and all of that, or the original Funky 4. Like, I kind of remember all that. I remember the names and all of that type of shit. But, like, as far as putting a record to a name, I don't know if I could always place that. I do want to revisit that. But then also, I didn't realize. So you saying that Kool Moe Dee was 10 years removed from Treacherous 3 when he was in his How You Like Me Now era?
Yeah, that was like 89. Wow. They like 88, 89. So I think Treacherous 3, let's see. I'm going to do some Googleness. Treacherous 3.
Real time Googles. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Let's see when they were active. The group that was formed in 1978. So he was battling. Oh, wow. He was battling LL in 88. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. So yeah, I got to check it out. What's the name of that hat Kool Moe Dee used to rock? Is there a name to that hat, or is it just a Kool Moe Dee hat? You know, the little short joint, the little...
The Kango?
It was a Kango? Was it backwards Kango? I felt like it had no brim on it.
Yeah, it was a Kango. That was that other style of Kango, like the little sport-looking hat. I'm looking at it now. He got on the Kango. You say it wasn't like the bucket Kango like LL. Well, it was like the, you know what I'm saying, I don't know what you call that version of a Kango.
That's crazy. That's wild as shit. I remember finding out, it's like 11th grade. I remember finding this little spot. It was like a Kango outlet, a little small spot that had all of the Kangos. Unfortunately, Kangos wasn't as crazy as they was a few, you know, little Kango buckets a couple days, but they had the entire collection, like all of the Kangos, like any Kango you wanted, and they were kind of cheap. So it was one of them spots where you could cop them shits and flip them. I wonder if they still around.
Yeah, they still around.
But what were you about to say?
I'm looking at them now.
No, so I'm talking about this spot. I'm talking about this spot.
Yeah.
Shit, that might be a...
That type of hat that Mo D was wearing is called a Tropic Vent Air.
A Tropic?
Yeah, Kango Tropic Vent Air. Because it had like, yeah, you know, because it had a little, like the wind could come through it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But that was like,
that was his own shit.
Yeah, more like the, I mean, a lot of people wore, like a lot of old school cats wore those type shits. You know what I'm saying? The little, like even now, you know what I'm saying? You see a nigga hop out of Cadillac with one of them motherfuckers on.
Yeah, it's a, I mean, but you know, I'm talking about rap wise. I don't know any other rappers that had that cool Mo D shit. That was his. He had that. That was signature for him.
Kango Kid wore it a couple times.
Okay,
but that's by it. Wasn't too many. Everybody wore the bucket mostly, or if they did wear that one, they wore it backwards.
Okay. But I feel like wearing it backwards is the same thing as wearing it forwards, right? It got no lid on it. It got no brim.
Nah, well, if you're talking about the same, I don't know which one you're talking about.
Let me look my shit up as I'm talking to you. Yeah. I'm talking about look like a little,
little bucket,
like a little pot lid. It looked like a bucket with no. Hold on, let me see. You know, what I'm talking about?
It must have been a custom. Oh, you know, that wasn't no Kango. That was like his own little custom Dapper Dan type shit. That's what I'm
telling. The Kubo D hat. Yeah, when you look at Kubo D, little chimney looking joint. Yeah, okay.
little pot oven and shit.
Exactly. Yeah, oven. That's what you're. Nah, how you like me now?
No, not that. But I was talking about it. Yeah, that's like a little custom. He probably had a little custom joints made at the Delancey Street like some shit.
Little high top koofy. We got a little thing going on. Yeah. But he wore it a few times. I see him one with like a leather one. He had a few of them shit.
Yeah, that was his style, nigga. That was in his older era.
Yeah, that was the Kumo D hat. That's what I said. I ain't seen nobody with that shit. That was his and his only.
Yeah, I don't buy.
Shout out to
Kumo
D, man.
I was watching.
I gotta revisit his catalog.
I always say to my kids, you know what I'm saying, when they be up on me trying to eat my food, or you know what I'm saying, ask me for some money that I don't want to give them at the time. I'd be like, back up off me, smell the coffee. I was saying that shit their whole life. That's a cool Mo D line. But I couldn't remember what song it was from. And so I said it one time to one of my kids, and then I just looked it up. And that shit had a video, and it was from the song All About the Money. And they shot that shit on my actual Brooklyn block. I went to the video. And it's like the 80s. I'm like, oh, shit. They had a phone booth in the middle of the block. You know what I'm saying? This shit was crazy. He shot that shot on the stoop of Al Van House. Al Van is like the congressman.
Damn. That's crazy. That's such a fucking small world. Mm-hmm. Full on circle. All of that shit. Yeah.
So that was a good teachable hip hop moment because I said it. Then I was like, let me show y'all where that come from. And then I was like, oh shit, that's our block.
Mm-hmm. You in the eye of the storm. Back up off, man. Yeah. Old Kumo D.
Yeah.
Gotta listen back to some of his older shit. Yeah. Cause I always seen, you know, I guess I did see Kumo D as an old head. You know what I mean? Like, I respected him. He had that voice. You know, and he has some records, you know, and I guess now I'm looking at, obviously, I don't remember, I got to go back to the Treacherous 3 shit, but like, you know, I guess some of his old On the Way Out hits, the bigger hits are probably like the Kumo D purists might not fuck with it, like Wild Wild West, you know what I mean? Like, that was one of them joints, though. We used to go uptown. That shit used to be the shit. Like, that shit was the shit. The Wild Wild West. That shit was hard. Yeah, that shit was hard. But I guess a Kumo D had to be like, that was more of his... That was the end of his era.
Yeah, but he went out big, though. How You Like Me Now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wild Wild West, I go to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if you heard They Want Money, the song I'm talking about, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I remember that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he had some shit. And
shout out to Kumo D.
One more thing about Mo D, because I always false identify the origin of this type of rap. That isolating, devastating, the shit they was doing on JJ Fab, but they the ones saying no real words. Lama, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At all of the talent shows, it'll always be girls doing that style, and they'll come kill. They'll kill a talent show because they'll hit you with that little fast shit. And they be saying all these little adjectives all in a row. I'm devastating, isolating.
Yeah.
I put on Treacherous Streetcar, got a song called Whip It, right? Which is like a flip of the Daz Band Whip It record.
Right.
And when it first come on, you hear Mo D doing that style with real ass lyrics. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh shit. I'm like, did Mo D start that shit? Because that was the style niggas came to kill a talent show with pre-Big Daddy Kane. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Big Daddy Kane had, like, Raw and all that, niggas tried to imitate that style. That big, that that style that Cool Mo D was doing on the beginning of a Whip It is what I'm talking about right there. And I didn't never attribute it to him because, you know, again, Treacherous 3 was kind of like, I was a little kid, you know what I'm saying? I ain't really wasn't able to identify what came when because, you know, back then you just heard a record when you heard it. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like that shit was on a drop. That shit dropped on Tuesday, June 11th. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right, nah, exactly.
That shit just be in the world and you gonna hear it if you hear it. And then you try to find out what it was. You try to remember the lyrics. Wasn't no Shazam. You had to be your own Shazam. And hold that shit till you get to the record store.
Shout
out to Mo D.
Yeah, that was that shit. Shout out to Mo D. What was the Treacherous 3 record you was listening to where you felt like he was getting off, or a video you saw where you were like, oh, he was on some cool shit?
I was listening to Let It. I was listening to Whip It, and then I think they got a song called. Back in the day, they had this song called, I think it was Punk Rock Rap, where they flipped like a punk rock type of song. And and it's just like, damn, them niggas riding on that shit. You know what I'm saying? So, Treacherous 3, however, they had some of those good old party classics from you know, the early 80s and shit. Feel the Heartbeat, you know what I'm saying? Body Rock. They got a lot of shit. Then Santa's Rap, they had, it was Mo D. Remember on B Street when Dougie Fresh came in, they was like had their heads in the hole of the wall.
Yeah, kind of. I more so remember the visual than the actual song.
Exactly.
I could see the scene. Yeah.
Cool Mo D was rapping that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, you know what I'm saying. You know the Dougie Fresh, that kid from around the way. Then Dougie coming up.
Right. B Street, you know what's crazy? I don't know if they took it down because I added it to my list. B Street was streaming on Prime for a hot second. And I think I might have waited too long. I think they might have snatched it up. You know, they'll do that shit. But as I've said before, Prime on the low, not even on the low, Prime got a lot of classic black movies. A lot of them. A lot of shit that you just forgot about, or you just like, oh, is that shit streaming there? There's some movie I was looking for recently that's not streaming anywhere. It'll come back to me in a minute. I was looking for it, I can't find it. But yeah, man, shout out to Cool Mo D. Speaking of old movies, I was watching White Man Can't Jump this weekend. Kind of in preparation to watch the new one that's out too, you know, just to see it. I was like, let me watch the original because I hear a lot of people, not a lot of people, I've heard mixed messages, mixed reviews on this new one. Some people say it's a cool little story, it's fun, whatever. Actually, that's what I kind of heard most of the people say. You know, it's chill. It is what it is. It's not offensive. I heard a lot of people saying, I'll never watch it. You know what I mean? Because they just on some old, you know, kind of strident. I don't want to indulge that bullshit, whatever. It's not going to be like the original. You know what I mean? So I was like, let me watch the original. Because then I'm like, the original, I remember it being fun. But, you know, sometimes we romanticize some of these movies from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we think just because it's now they remaking it, the original had to be so much. Like, Candyman was one of those. Candyman is fine. It's not the worst movie. You know what I mean? But, like, the way people was talking when they made that Candyman remake, they were like, I can't believe that they're fucking with a classic. And I don't know about that. It's good. It's good. I think it's better than the remake, though, to be honest with you. I thought the remake was not that good. But I watched
that shit. Nigga, it was fine. That has replaced your... It was regular.
It was regular. Yeah, man. It was fine. Nah, because I don't want to... You know, it's been a minute since I watched it, so I don't want to all the way just trash it, because I don't remember, you know... It take a lot for me to really feel like a movie is trash. It take a lot for me to feel like a lot of shit is trash. I got to think about it, like, where I'm like, this shit is just fucking garbage. It's a lot. But I watched White Man Can't Jump, like I said. And it was good just to watch it because, you know, like I was telling a friend of mine today, I was in the group chat talking about, you know, we have the benefit of knowing where so many of those actors' careers went. Mm-hmm. You know, this 30 years ago. So you see what happened with Wesley. You see what happened with Woody. You see what happened with Rosie. You know what I mean? Kadeem Hardison's in it. Dwayne, what's my man's name? Dwayne Johnson, I think. Not Dwayne Johnson, it's The Rock. What's Dwayne, my man, above the rim, married to Tisha Martin. Campbell. Dwayne Martin, he's in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had great chemistry. Like, they had great chemistry. They was all, like, mad young, like, early, like, late 20s. I think Woody Harrelson was 30. Wesley Snipes was 29. You know what I'm saying? So they was, like, right at the, you know, at the beginning, the onset kind of their career. I mean, I guess this is post-New Jack City for Wesley. Post Cheers for Woody, you know what I mean? Post Do the Right Thing for Rosie or whatever. So they were known. They was in them streets. But it was just good to see, like, just how they playing off each other. See, you know, there was some dated shit. Some of the, you know, the your mama jokes was mad classic. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, damn, I ain't heard that one since fucking Word. That's an old piece right there. I ain't heard that since 92. But what was really interesting, too, though, is how much the clothing is relevant today.
Mm.
So many of the brands, the styles, the way that, like, you know, the way that the shirts is, like, the overdyed shirts, the way that some of the outfits is put together, the way some of the imagery, like, you know, there was a lot of, like, Mandela shirts going on, you know what I mean? Like, and you kind of see it now. May not be Mandela, but it, like, you know, you'll see, like, activists, black activists, older black activists emblazoned on some of these shit. Like, it's so much of these brands that are going on right now.
Mm.
Like, damn near, it's like the lookbook for what's going on, you know what I mean, with the youth now. So it was just wild to see. You know how they always say things move in cycles. Like, this was the end of the loop. So, yeah, it was a cool movie. And what I forgot about was it's not really a happy ending. You know, at least for Woody Harrelson's character. Wesley's character's fine, but, like, you know, spoiler alert, it's a 30-year-old movie, but, you know, Woody loses girl. You know what I'm saying? Rosie Lee that motherfucker, because he just can't stop hustling. He couldn't stop trying to, you know, flip something. You know, he was fucking up. He was addicted to the game. And, you know, it wasn't happily ever after for the kid. So, but it was just good to watch the movie. I'm going to watch the remake. I was going to try to do a doubleheader, but it was a little too much. So, you know what I mean? It was already, yeah, it wasn't set up for that. But I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see what Jack Harlow and Cinqua Wells, I think his last name is, my man, what's his name? Dwayne, my man Sean. Was it Sean on Power, the driver that was messing with Tasha?
Yeah.
50 Cent. Yeah. So we'll see what's what with that. You know, the kid Calmatic directed it, and I kind of like Calmatic. I like the stuff that he's done with, like, Vince Staples and shit like that. So I'm curious to see what he did with this. He did the House Party remake, you know. That was whatever. It wasn't fucking with the regular House Party at all. But, you know, they doing what they could do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So that's that. Shout out to White Man Can't Jump, OG version.
Word.
Man, how you doing though, man? We ain't even. Yeah, go ahead. What are you about to say?
A lot of shit though, man. And you know, you can make good stuff from an era. You know, like we watch stuff that was, you know, from the '70s and sixties, and enjoyed it. You know what I mean? We enjoyed Coolie High. You know what I mean? But it's very hard to replicate the feeling of being in a certain time. You know what I mean? And now it could be any time. That's why everybody think their time was the best time, because they was in the middle of it, and it was so much nuance going on that when you pull it out and put it in modern times, and niggas got the internet and Instagram and all that shit, it's hard for it to resonate. You know what I mean? How fun that was to just be able to do certain things. You know what I mean? Like, now you might look at certain shit, like, niggas riding on the back, like, hanging on the back of the bus, riding from here to there. Like, nigga, hey, what's so fun about that? That ain't shit, nigga. Just getting an Uber.
That shit been going on since way back. That's old school.
Man. That's old school, but back then, when times was real hard, it was real fucked up, everybody wasn't no drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? You had to, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody had a smartphone.
You had to get the way you was going. Nigga, nobody was judging you for pulling up on the back of the bus outside of it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They laughing like, oh shit, them niggas got here. Them niggas got ingenuity. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now niggas be done judged. You be like, ah, man, this niggas broke. So, you know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying, it's like hard to kind of put certain things in its proper perspective. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you over romanticize it, or sometimes you understand that it was, like, say Jordan, you understand that there's a legend, you know what I'm saying, that he was doing his thing, he broke the mold and the shoes would fly, but to be there when them shoes first dropped and changed everything, when shoes became more than shoes, you know what I'm saying? Shoes became a whole lifestyle. Nigga, you walk in with some Jordans on, this shit was like a passport. Like, oh, he know what time it is. Come on, man. Come on in here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you could buy Jordans now. You know what I'm saying? You might pay a lot for them. You got might be collecting a whole bunch of them. But to do what you had to do to get that one pair and try to keep them bitches crisp all year, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Till the next ones come out, All-Star Weekend. That's because that's when they used to drop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That shit was something that you took pride in, or just being able to do and walk into the spot. You know, it's just hard to bring it to now. And, you know, and this shit that's happening now, that's going to be hard for future generations. You know, it's just like, you know, you just had to be there.
Yeah, no, to that point, curious to see the movie that is of this generation that captures this generation. Obviously, I'm not a participant in this generation. I'm talking about as far as like youth culture goes, or hip hop goes, or you know what I mean? Or you know what I mean? Like that type of thing. Like when you hear somebody, they say, this person was the voice of a generation. Mm-hmm. They got it right. They told the story of what is now and how it is, down to everything, down to, you know, the attitude, the slang, the clothing, the places to go, the way to pass the time, all of that shit. They capture it in a way that's like the people that are there, you know, the people that are actively in the midst of it, are like, oh, nah, they got it. They caught that shit. And I don't know. Maybe, you know, obviously, I'm 45, so some of this shit is not being marketed towards me. So it could be out and about, and I don't even know about it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm curious, who is the voice of this generation? Who's putting that type of shit out there? And if y'all know about anything that's come out, particularly, like, on the movie side of things, share it with us. Because I'm curious to, you know, to see how it's being captured. And maybe I'm overlooking it. Maybe I'm not even paying attention to it. Maybe I have come in contact with certain shit. But yeah, I'm always open to that, you know, to see how somebody, you know, how somebody takes that photo. How about it, you know what I mean? Puts that shit together.
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of these people that's doing it right now are women.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're looking at Issa Rae and you're looking at, you know, even people who are not necessarily, a lot of times it don't be the people in a specific generation, because you might have people telling stories from their experience, but they're telling it in this time, and then they become a voice of a lot of people. So, like, when you look at people like Mara Akil and Yvette Lee Bowser, and Shonda Rhimes, how they influencing the generation of storytellers and writers of now, you know what I'm saying? The Ava DuVernays and all those types of people, they out here doing it. You know what I'm saying? Again, we grew up in the era in hip hop, and I felt like that was a black man renaissance when we grew up. It was the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Martin, comedy, Def Comedy Jam. You know what I mean? You know, the movies that was written and marketed towards us. Now, a lot of that shit is women, you know what I'm saying? Or gangsters and shit, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, people might say, that's NBA Youngboy, you know what I mean? People might say, that's Polo G, you know? Because they had a list come out the other day of niggas who had the most platinum hits in the last 10 years. And and goddamn, Polo G was like number 3.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think I know one Polo G record. I know Polo G. You know what I mean?
That's
what
I'm saying.
I don't know if I could. Same thing with NBA Youngboy. I know he's killing shit. I know maybe one record. Some shit like that. That's kind of hard. But yeah, I'm out the loop. Comfortably out the loop. But go ahead. Keep going.
Nah, that shit was, I just saw that the other day, and it was like, damn, I didn't even know. I knew Youngboy was up there, you know what I'm saying? But Polo G, and I wish I could find it now, but
right,
it was like, damn. It's like some of these cats I'm not even up on like that, but they out here killing that shit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's that part, you know what I'm saying? It's there, man, you know? It's just,
yeah,
whether you tapped in and you feeling it. And it's different to feel it when you're older, because you're not learning culture at the same speed as people that's just getting into culture, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, you're an onlooker.
Yeah,
anthropologist shit.
Taking it for granted. You know what I'm saying? It's just that, okay, well, man, let me motherfucking get to the house and, you know what I'm saying, take care of these motherfucking bills. I will say, after getting real bills and shit, it's hard. You could tell how easy it was to be in culture when you was just a kid, nigga.
You ain't had to pay that much.
He was on your mama now. Shit.
Right.
Grown motherfucker shit, fuck that, nigga. I mean, I got shit to do.
You had the whole infrastructure was laid out for you. You didn't even realize you were in a fully formed office. You know what I mean? Now I'm talking about office, but your ecosystem was well-funded. All you had to do was just get in when you're supposed to get in there. And that was it. Don't do no bullshit. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? If you want to contribute, you could contribute a little bit, but more often than not, that shit ain't even, you know, look, it ain't going to be a whole lot. Don't even worry about it. Just don't wild out. Don't be a dickhead. Don't do no dumb shit. yeah, I mean, that is you got a point there, and it's definitely a lot of creative women. It's a huge, I don't say renaissance, but what I will say about renaissance in particular, speaking of that type of thing, and just black women, I have been peeping. You know, I think it's kind of cool, like. And it's funny because I first saw this, it seemed like as a hack. Somebody had kind of tweeted something, and it was like it seemed like that's the first place that I saw even the idea start. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of black women in particular, but women in general, but black women making the pilgrimage to go see Beyonce's concert, but out of the country, right? And it's kind of fly. Like, I saw it, first time I saw somebody tweet, yeah, I'm gonna get my Beyonce tickets outside of the United States because they don't sell out that fast. Mm-hmm. And you can get good seats for, you know, I don't want to say cheaper because you're still gonna have to go out there, fly out there, get the hotel, but you got a better opportunity of getting a ticket than if you're trying to get some shit here in the States. Mm-hmm. Then I started to notice just over the last few weeks, it's so many women that I know or that are within the algorithm that, you know what I mean, that I'll be on that are just in these foreign lands. And the reason being, like, they showing you the sights and whatever, but it all ends at the show. They at the Beyonce show, and it's like going to Mecca. You know what I'm saying? Like, they be on their shit. And it's fucking, it's dope. It's real cool. Cause it's like it opens, to keep with the photography analogy, it opens the aperture. You're seeing way more. It's not just going to the Barclays or to the Garden or to whatever arena is in your city or the arena in a city over or state over. Nah, we stamping these passports. We making a moment out of this shit. And it reminds me a lot of, shout out to Demetria Lucas. She got a hashtag that says See Some World, where her whole shit, you know, she's been on the travel shit, on some wanderlust type shit, like all over the world. And she kind of takes the people with her or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of people doing that. But it was just kind of cool how, and maybe it's I think it could be a generational thing too, mm-hmm. and an age thing. I've noticed that, like, people around my age, your age, there's a lot of people that are like, it's not just buying a ticket no more. It's like we building a full experience around this shit. It's like the outside of it all is more indulgent. You know, it's like how Beyonce say, outside. Like, it's a whole fucking thing. Like, we doing this, and this is like, it's kind of, it's fly. It's like some cool shit to see. Like, damn, this is like a real ill phenomenon,
right?
You know, and yeah, I was just paying attention to the gram, and I saw that shit, and I was just like, yeah, this is something I want to, you know, discuss. You know?
Nah, no doubt. I mean, you know, shit, it is generational in a way, because, you know, while there was a lot of traveling from other generations, traveling wasn't that safe even in our parents' generation. You know what I'm saying? That was still had the green book and all that shit. It wasn't that safe.
Mm-hmm.
So now, you know, I think, you know, black people as on a whole are feeling way more freer to move about, you know what I mean? Grab that passport and go. Passport bros, you know what I'm saying? You got the girls' trips, you know. I think Instagram is letting you see that you can go and not get kidnapped and traded into slavery. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So so I think it's just a movement that deserves to grow.
Right.
But you know, it is an intriguing thing to see, you know what I mean? Not only just I'm going to go on a vacation for my personal self, but I'm going to go see my favorite artist in a whole nother experience, you know? So, you know, it has to be a funny experience to be in a foreign land, nobody speaking your language, but everybody vibing to the music the same way.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that's dope. And it also makes the world seem smaller, too, when you realize, when there's a goal to go there. Like, it's almost like going to the show is bigger than the travel, right? Because it's almost like the means to the end. Not to diminish the travel. The travel is dope, but it's like, it's not like you're going to Paris to see the Eiffel Tower. While I'm there, I'll check it out, but I'm going to this concert. You know what I'm saying? So it just, it makes it see, it's just as, like, you shit, you going down the block, go get something to eat. You know what I mean? Like, it just makes this world just a little bit smaller. Once you realize, because I always say that about travel, once you realize that you can get there and you could get back, and to your point, you could do that shit safely and you had a good time and shit was cool and you're not fucking in poverty after the fact, you like, oh, I could do that shit again. It just makes it, it's a reference point. Oh, I could go there. Like, it's just, it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing. I remember the first time I ever went to Europe, I realized in that moment that countries are like states here. You know, like the way that you go from London to Amsterdam, similarly, like how you would go from New York to DC. And I never really fathomed it because I was always learning about it as, you know, these countries that were abroad, that were overseas. So I'm thinking every country, you know, I'd say, but every country is damn near as big as the United States or whatever. You thinking like, wow, that's that. You know, like when people outside the United States call the United States the states. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, right. So when I was like, oh shit, that's 2 hours away and I'll be in a whole different country. That shit blew my mind, you know? But yeah, that's real cool, man. I love seeing black people travel for any reason. So it's cool. For real, for real. And it's funny because that reluctance goes both ways. Because I was in Paris, I was checking out. There's a black woman at the front desk, and she was probably like in her 20s or something. And she was like, yo, you was like, you in New York? I was like, yeah. She's like, I want to go to New York, but I'm afraid to get killed. I was like, damn. You know, but I get it. I understand. Shit, if you watched what was going on in the U.S. from over, you know, from overseas, you see all of the shit that was going on. You be like, I don't know about that, because when I be watching some of these other countries from overseas, I'm like, I don't know, that shit look crazy, you know. When I went overseas this most recent time, I was like, this was before Brittany Griner was back home. You know what I'm saying? I was like, God forbid a nigga get locked up, like you say, locked up abroad. Not sold it to slavery, but just locked away in a spot where they don't even speak your, you know what I mean? They don't even speak your language. You be asked out. Nigga, I'm not in no type of NBA, you know what I mean? Like, right. That platform is,
Niggas ain't GoFundMe for you and shit.
Right. Not like that. Not that crazy shit.
I said Trump ain't pulling no strings for your ass.
Nah, nigga. So I was like, let me be careful out here. But yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see the people all over the world, you know? I heard somebody say some shit. I forgot where I read this shit. They was like, damn, I'm gonna fuck it up. So I can't even quote it. But it was some shit like, something to the fact, and I'm paraphrasing it, but something to the same thing of, wherever I stand is my land. You know what I'm saying? Wherever I'm gonna be, wherever I could get to, I'm gonna be. And now this is part me. Then I was watching this movie. What the fuck was the movie? I can't remember the movie. It's gonna come to me, but it was like they were like, yo, when you go different places, your feet, like I was watching Godfather of Harlem, right? I was watching the new season of Godfather of Harlem, and Malcolm, Bumpy Johnson's daughter's daughter, the granddaughter, she was like, you know, you got to go to the world, said, because when you go into the world, wherever you put your feet, the land remembers your feet, so you always been there. Like it was something. I'm paraphrasing, fucking it up, but it was slick. I was like, oh, that's kind of fly. You know, like I do feel like a low key goal of mine is to make this world as small as I can. You know, like, you know, as much as my my budget and my access will allow. I want to be able to pull up on a global level, you know?
Word up. You know what I'm saying? Walk light so you don't piss the ground off. That's what Lil Wayne said.
Yeah. right. That's hilarious.
But that make a whole lot more sense when you said the ground remembers. You know what I'm saying?
Right, the ground remember how you came through. You know what I'm saying?
Want the ground to be pissed at your ass.
Doing too much.
Came through here.
Stomping
up.
Through.
Yes, sir.
Oh, shit.
Man.
What's good with you, man? What else is going on?
Man. You know, last week, right, we was on the pod.
And sound like the nigga that do the recaps. Last week on Power. Yeah. Go ahead. What happened on last week?
Previously on In The Conversation. Ali was headed to a repass.
Right,
so
right,
I went to this repass.
Repass after the repass.
Right, exactly. The you know saying I couldn't make the church repass. I went to the people's repass.
Gotcha. Okay.
The unsanctioned repass. So you know everybody was there, all the people from the community, and you know I got there you know midway through. I think everybody had been there maybe since 4 o'clock. I got there like 7:30. So everybody was in their full glory at the time, you know what I'm saying? And so I sit down at the bar where my wife was at, walked up on her, you know what I'm saying? And I'm looking across the bar. I'm looking at this cat, man. I'm like, man, this nigga look familiar. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it didn't take me long to remember where I knew the nigga from. You know what I'm saying? And previously on In The Conversation, I told a story about being in college and you know what I'm saying, I went over this one of my friend's house and her boyfriend answered the door and my niggas who I was with who was just in town from Miami for homecoming, they don't know nothing about culture and decorum, you know what I'm saying, they kind of went off on the nigga, you know what I'm saying, just for you know what I'm saying, just for being concerned about what the fuck was going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the nigga didn't take that too lightly. You know what I mean? And niggas came looking for me and I wasn't really concerned because I always kept that thing on me. Like my man on the internet say, I took that thing too. But it was like, so when I came up to the school one time, niggas was like, yo, these niggas was looking for you. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't tripping. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I went out of town and I went to from where I was at, we drove to Miami and this was like Thanksgiving. And so after Thanksgiving, you know, you only got like 1 week of class left. It's just finals, and then you go right back. So it's maybe like 5 days until Christmas break. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave this thing down here because I'm going to fly back. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and, you know, I had, you know, that was like my that was always on me. So I'm talking about I land on Sunday, Monday morning. I ain't got the thing on me. I see this, you know what I'm saying, this Cadillac pass by that would look way too new and too modern. To, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't see two new cars in college too much. You know what I'm saying? You see mostly like used vehicles. You know what I'm saying? You don't see no brand new shiny shit. So I'm like, who the fuck in this Cadillac? And then I seen the brake lights pop on. Boom. Then I peeped the tag. And I'm like, ah. You know what I'm saying? It was from the town where the niggas was from. It was Atlanta plates. And so two niggas jumped out. And they was on me, you know what I'm saying? They had me, you know what I'm saying?
Had to drop.
They had to drop on me, but you know what I'm saying? In my mind, I got my thing on me.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the niggas rolled up on me, I went for it, and it wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? It was not there. And so, you know, the niggas commenced to jumping on me, whatever, whoop, whoop, you know. I made it out alive. But, you know, as time went on, you know, the lesson was... sink in more, you know what I'm saying? Especially as you start having family and shit, and you start thinking about your life, you be like, damn, if I had a shot them niggas then, none of this would be, you know what I'm saying? You be like, damn, I would have threw my whole life away about nothing, you know? And so even like after the fact, you know, you go back, when I got home, you know, you go to the niggas who really caused all of the situation. Like, yeah, I done got the drop on a nigga. I know where the nigga at. And, you know, them niggas weren't with it. Them niggas weren't about the nigga. What is you talking about, man? You know what I mean? But I was like, damn, this was the shit y'all started. I got my shit. Then I realized, you know, niggas ain't, you got to be on your own shit. You know what I'm saying? Niggas, you don't let no nigga speak for you. Don't let no nigga, don't think no niggas finna do no shit for you. You know what I mean? When it's time, because niggas will talk a lot, but they ain't, when it's time, they ain't talking about nothing a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? So I let the shit go and took the ass whooping and fucking learned the lesson. So fast forward, I'm at the repass. I'm looking across the bar. I'm looking at this nigga, and it's the nigga. You know what I'm saying? This is the nigga.
Wow, from back then.
From back then, the nigga that was on my ass, that was looking for me. You know what I'm saying? The nigga that, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The whole shit. And I ain't seen this nigga since.
Right.
I'm looking at her like, damn, I know this. And so, you know, I asked my wife, because she, you know what I'm saying, it's a very small, you know, Decatur faction of people around. You know what I mean? So everybody kind of know each other. And, you know, honestly, I felt like I would have ran into him a lot sooner. But, you know, things happen how I'm supposed to. So I was like, I asked my wife, I was like, yo, is that such and such? She's like, yeah, that's him. I'm like, damn. I took it.
She knew the backstory?
Yeah, because shit, the her best friend was roommates with the girl house who I went to. See, I only went there because her mother cooked. Like, would come because her mama and pops went to FAMU. And they would come and set that shit out every year. Like, you know what I'm saying? All the grown folk food that you ain't had since you left home. You know what I'm saying? And her mama was from Miami and made conch fritters and all that type shit. So I'm like, shit, I know where we could get some food. But this year, it wasn't like that because, you know what I'm saying, homie was in town. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't even no real mission. It was just like, you know what I'm saying, on some drunk, hungry shit. So, so boom, I told my wife, I took a sip of my drink. I said, I'm finna go holler at this nigga. You know what I'm saying? She's like, what? I'm like, yeah. She ain't know what I had up my sleeve. You know what I'm saying? But I walked around to the bar. He was talking to a nigga that I had just met. You know what I'm saying? I just met this nigga. You know what I'm saying? Whoop, whoop, whoop. And so I tapped him on the shoulder, and you know, everybody was in like a family mood, so it was kind of like, okay, what's up? You know what I'm saying? And then I broke the shit down. I don't know, I think I told the story kind of backwards, because it almost was like, could have put a nigga on guard, because it was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying, such and such and such and such, I was, you know what I'm saying, y'all niggas jumped me. You know what I'm saying?
Remember me, nigga? Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
But yeah. I wasn't trying to say it like that, but that's, you know what I'm saying? That was the only way that I could explain it, right? So you could see tensed up a little bit. And then I was like, but nah, that shit taught me a lesson. You know what I'm saying? That was a life lesson. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, and I went through the whole shit. And then he was like, damn, I remember that. And then, you know, we talked about it. You know what I'm saying? We talked about that shit like some grown motherfucking black men. That, like, just, you know what I'm saying? I had never been in a situation like that. And I didn't know how the shit was going to turn out. And I didn't know if the nigga was going to be like, yeah, nigga, I got something else for your ass. You know what I'm saying? In his in his hometown. You know what I'm saying? It could have went left.
Yeah, that'd have been crazy at the repass. Right. Yeah, nigga, that nigga's wow. That'd have been bananas. But go ahead.
I wasn't concerned. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You had to make it right. You had to talk.
The way that I felt off your chest was like, nah, this is what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So So I got the, and the other nigga was standing there like, is this nigga really telling this shit? Like, what the fuck going on? But the nigga.
Oh, he was part of the jumping crew too?
Nah, but he was just an innocent bystander in this conversation. But that's one of his boys. Right. That's like one of his people. So I'm just sitting here breaking that shit down. You know what I'm saying? Like, this happened, da, da, da. And then he had some stuff that, you know, what he had kind of misunderstood, and I had to break that shit down. And then, you know, the shit was like, at the end, the nigga was like, man, I'm glad you came over here, man, and told me that, man. Shit, man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, we could go drinking sometime. Like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know how that'll work, but I wanted to, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to get that shit out because, you know what I'm saying? I ain't seen you since then, and I don't even know you. I don't know nothing about you. You don't know nothing about me. You know what I'm saying? So the shit was, that shit was like a beautiful black man moment, you know what I mean? In the way of, like, if you told, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't even think my wife really could comprehend the depth of what happened in that moment. You know what I'm saying? I don't think, you know, like, even when, because he was like, you know, the girl who house it was, he was like, yo, she, because they married now. He like, oh, she, damn.
Oh, man. Wow.
He's like, you ain't see? I was like, nah, I ain't see nobody but you. I just walked in here. And then, so afterwards, I told her, and then she was like, oh, after 44 years. Like, yeah, it was 44. It was 30. It was about 30 years. But that's the type of shit that don't really happen in niggas' lives like that. You know what I'm saying?
And, right. And it's a breakthrough.
And it don't mean no. Niggas done lived their life and went on and did all that shit. But like he said, he was like, man, I'm glad you came over here and told me that. You know what I mean? Because you don't know how niggas be taking stories and situations and all that shit. That shit become a crucial part of who you are. And sometimes you hold on to shit, get shit back started for no motherfucking reason because it wasn't no reason in the beginning. You just young, stupid with some gunpowder. You know what I'm saying? Thinking, shit, nigga can't tell me shit. So it was a moment. And As I'm telling the story, I don't even know, you know what I mean, what the real takeaway would be, except for, you know, that shit is a closed chapter, and it's energy, it's good energy that you was able to pass along to somebody who probably didn't get a lot of good energy passed along to them like that, especially from a adversary, you know what I'm saying? It's like somebody say the other day, when your enemies become your instructors, you know what I'm saying? Your teachers, you know? It's like the teachable moment. Like, maybe I learned the teachable moment in that moment. Maybe he learned something at the repass. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, and it don't matter. I just put it out there, what was, as the old people would say, it was on my heart to just say it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I did. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that shit was a crazy moment, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to that man, you know what I'm talking about? Water under the bridge, and, you know, again, it wasn't no problem because when niggas ain't never came across paths, but spiritually, that shit was enlightening.
Yeah, no, that shit, that is historic. That, you know that shit. Shit, nah, man, that's grown man resolution. That right there, they need to make a documentary on that, you know, because cats need to know, because that, you know, look, that, yeah, that takes a lot to go that route, you know, like, it, you know, so much of how we can move as men is so much about pride and ego and shame and all of that. And if you ever feel like it could, if you ever felt like you took an L, you know, it could have been 30 years ago, but that feeling is sharp as a heart attack. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you feel it, like, it could make you like a word, like, it could, you know, it could awaken some shit in you that might not be as benevolent, right? Mm-hmm. But then, like you said, first of all, shit could have been worse than what it was. Mm-hmm. Somebody could have lost their life, mm-hmm. right? And now, y'all done lived 30 years later, so y'all got to live a good life. You know right. what I'm saying? And you're the backdrop of the meeting again is at the end of somebody who left, who, you know, lived a great life and who mm-hmm. left a great legacy. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that was like, that's the backdrop for the fucking, the fact that y'all cross paths again, but mm-hmm. it's in a whole different context mm-hmm. and nothing happens by chance,
right?
You know, and you know, for you to you know, take whatever that inspiration was, inspired you to go over there and you know, fucking close that chapter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, speak to what happened and get that resolution and the, like, you know, that's big, man. That like that is mm-hmm. real. That's real shit. Like, you know, I'm halfway joking when I say it's historic and it should be a documentary.
Right.
But you know, for real, like that's a big deal. And I think there needs to be more stories of that.
Right.
Cause it's so much about the get back. Mm. Don't matter. You know, like shit, not even just in our culture, kung fu flicks were based on that. You know what I mean? Had to scour the world for 44 years looking for the beef, for the bad. You killed my father. You know what I mean? Whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
It was a beef, nigga, on site. Nigga, on site. Don't, there's no time limit on site. That right. shit is no expiration date.
Right.
And that was a different, that was the remix. That was on site, the remix. On site, the resolution.
Right.
That's hard.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, man.
The shit, like, again, I feel like when I told a few people the story, right? Men and women. Mm-hmm. And it's like, only niggas could get that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Niggas see how big it is. How that shit meant so.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
oh, people shit.
Like, oh, that was old. That was, that nigga, get on. I ain't getting anybody want to think about yeah. your motherfucking ass. It ain't even about that. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, because mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. okay, when he told his side of it, right? It was like, mm-hmm. he was like, you know what I'm saying? When y'all was out there and I'm hearing them niggas talk that shit, I had about 4 or 5 weapons right in the house that I was like, you know what I'm saying? I felt like right. going to air the shit out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But we drove off bumping the music real loud, just, you know, disrespectful. You know what I mean? And then I told him, I'm like, along that same vein, it's like, I had my thing on me every single day. The day y'all caught me was the first day that I ain't have it on me. You know what I'm saying? The day that I would have used it was the day I ain't have it. And once you start looking, even back then, like, you know, a few months removed, you start thinking about it like, damn. You know what I mean? You like, why I ain't have my shit on me then? It'd be like, God be like, nigga, if you had it on you, then what? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then what? You was on a college campus, you shoot two niggas who was unarmed, nigga. The fuck, nigga?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't no stand your ground back then. That shit. Nope. It was just like, nigga, you might just be coming home.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I mean? You spent a significant time. You definitely wouldn't be on the track what you're doing now.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? This shit could have been way different real easy just by, you know, your stupid ass having it on you. You ain't need that shit, nigga. Knuckle up. What it's going to be is what it's going to be. And once you learn that, you know what I'm saying, that's a crucial lesson to learn as a black man, especially when you're young. And then to have to be able to live all the way through it, come out on the other side, and then run right back into it and be able to say, you know what? What I learned, I'm going to go share that shit with the other motherfucker that was involved with the situation. You know
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because from what I understand, the other nigga that was in it, who ain't really had much to do with the situation other than that's his boy, he ain't here with us no more. You know what I'm saying? So so it's like, nigga, you done came through a whole lot to come out on the other side, man. Ain't nothing to go have that kind of conversation. You know what I mean? And get that shit on out the way and spread some of that motherfucking information and knowledge to a motherfucker who wasn't expecting it, didn't know where it was coming from, just to get that shit suddenly at the motherfucking bar.
Mm-hmm. That shit was right on time, even after all these years. Mm-hmm. Best believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Telling you, because nigga was like, damn. Nigga was like, damn, man. Man, I'm glad you came over here, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know it. I don't know what that man done lived through and all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because from what I understand, he was always known to be a fighter and, you know what I'm saying? And right. roughing shit up. That's from what I understand. Right. So,
right.
You know, nobody probably, you know what I mean? It's just a weird thing. I don't know much about it, so I can't speak on it, but it just feel like motherfucker sure did appreciate that shit.
Yeah, nah, that's grown man business right there. That's real maturity, you know? Like, that shit, yeah, that shit is inspiring to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, shit. Even with all of that, I appreciate it. I don't know if I'll run up on somebody that got the best of me if I'm going to be as cordial. Right. I might peep the scene. I might see, oh, nigga, I got to drop on this nigga. Absolutely.
That's your
remember this? Yeah.
Hey, man. Hey, man. Listen.
Oh, shit. But I would consider it now. It's at least now it's in the playbook. It's at least a thought.
Listen,
man. Oh, shit. No, but that's real. Good.
The lesson had long been learned. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right, nigga, right. I knew what it was when I was in the middle of the fight, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It was a teachable moment. It was in the moment.
It was teachable in the moment. You know what I'm saying? So
absolutely. AP. Like, yeah.
So you know, you carry it. And again, I didn't know when I was going to, you know, because I'm running these same circles. And I didn't know when I was going to run into the nigga or what it was going to be, what that nigga was going to be on or nothing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just like, listen, man, look here. And it was cool. And shit, it was done. It's just like you just reached that point in life. And that's like a concrete ass example of you just gotta live this shit in your own shit. Cause the nigga who had just met me, the nigga met me on the other side of the bar. My wife introduced me to him, blah blah blah, this such and such, woo woo woo. What up, man? Cool, woo woo woo. When I'm over there telling the story, I didn't even realize that was the same dude. He just sitting there like listening, like, damn, nigga, what the fuck going on? You know what I'm saying? What is this? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He enjoyed it just as much. He ain't had nothing to do with it. You know what I mean? Because it was, you know, I believe the nigga just couldn't believe a nigga was would be here telling this type of story. And it wasn't, to me, it wasn't embarrassing that a nigga got the best of me, you know what I'm saying? Especially when niggas outnumber you. It wasn't embarrassing to tell a story because I know I appreciate, you know what I'm saying, the lesson. I appreciate how it happened. I appreciate how God let me see that, yeah, nigga, you think you need that thing. Nah, nigga, you just need to be, you know what I'm saying, stand up motherfucking individual. You know what I mean? And nigga, you live to tell a story, and here we go, tell a story. And so the nigga on the side is looking like, man, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, when was this?
Right.
Like, nigga, this was 1993. It's like, nigga, this is. Mm-hmm. So at first, the nigga didn't remember it. He was like, you know, poor nigga probably been in so much shit. But I was like, they were like, nah, nigga. It was this particular, you know what I'm saying, this particular thing, this particular thing. He was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Then he was able to recall the whole shit, you know? So it was crazy, man. That shit was crazy. It felt like my man Didi, who had passed, was putting that shit all together. Like, man, let me get y'all niggas.
Yeah.
Let me get y'all niggas
right. Man. Right. That's crazy. Yeah, nothing happens by mistake, man. That shit was, that was destined. Wow. Huh. Yeah, that shit crazy, man. Oh, man. Yeah. That is some wild shit, dog.
Oh,
man. Speaking of some old, some bullshit or crazy ass, did you see the Mayweather fight?
I didn't even know. I thought Mayweather was retired.
Man, he stayed fronting like he retired, but he be fighting these bums, these people that ain't really on his level. He do these little exhibition fights.
Okay.
And yeah, they ain't no real fights. These are, and they, I'm scratching my head more and more because okay, I understood the Conor McGregor joint. You know what I mean? He got some name to him. He's a UFC. He was a UFC, I believe, champ, but he was well known. Okay, you know, and UFC is huge in the game, so I'd realize a lot of this boxing is definitely about audience. Let me get as many people in the audience, especially if you're trying to leverage it for some more money. Mayweather's a promoter. You know, I got that. Logan Paul, I felt like, I see what you're doing. You want some more of that little social media audience. This cat is not on your level, but whatever. All right, go ahead, do it. Then he did, I think, some dude out, and I want to say Korea, who I really don't know any background on. Now he just did John Gotti Jr., you know what I'm saying, who, you know, the name is John Gotti. So I see the, I guess, at least the, you know, the, I don't want to say controversy of it all, but, you know, there's some name recognition, even though this ain't the Teflon Don, this is his son. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if he's known to be about this motherfucker's box twice. And it's just crazy to see, like, twice, you know, like, and then you could get in the ring with Mayweather, who is 50-0. Like, what does that yield for Mayweather? What's going on? What does he have beyond the lineage, you know? But I saw the fight on YouTube. You know what I mean? And it was a Zeus production. I guess he's working with Zeus now. And Zeus's fights of all sorts, because they had the Jocelyn fight immediately after the Mayweather fight. That was an unscheduled undercard. But I saw the fight. The fight was terrible. It was basically Mayweather taunting him, playing cat. You know, Mayweather's cat and mouse anyway, but just high-level cat and mouse. Taunting him, sticking out his tongue, crazy shit, tagging him at will. The kid, for a few rounds, didn't even throw a punch. Like, he was just guarding, you know, just on guard, and, you know. And then, you know, the kid is a lot bigger than Mayweather, too. He's like 186 something, you know. So after a while, he started getting frustrated and kind of leaning on, you know how they be doing the little, they be hugging and shit, and they try to lay on the cat. So the ref would break it up, and I think the kid would try to steal a shot or whatever. Ultimately, the ref broke it up. Now my man won a fight. You know, he broke it up. That's when the ego, go pride ego. Ref was like, it's over. You're disqualified. You ain't got no round to your name, Pop. You was never going to win. He run around the ref, try to swing on Mayweather, still get tapped. Bing, still, this is Mayweather. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still in the boxing ring. He's not off point. Bing caught him, then Mayweather's whole battalion comes in the ring. I mean, Mayweather had about 40 motherfuckers that just came and swarmed this kid and his corner man and his manager or whatever, and that was the end of that. It was, I don't know what the payday was on it. I can't imagine what the payday on it was. It felt very unnecessary. It did. It had a lot of unnecessary vibes to it. And it didn't even feel like it was a lit boxing match. You know, a boxing match would bring motherfuckers out. You know, the high rollers, the women, you know what I'm saying? A lot of motherfuckers throwing money around, wanting to be seen. This didn't feel like nobody wanted to be seen at this shit. It was some real community center vibes, you know? And, it was what it was. Again, I don't know how much it he got paid. I do feel like this is a thing with fighters. Because you made all this money fighting. That's kind of all you know. Even if you figured out how to leverage your legacy and your undefeated record into a platform to promote and make money off of new fighters, I guess it's still that, you know, how you define yourself. I'm still one of them. It's nice with my hands. I want to show the people until it's probably past my prime type shit. Not to say he looked past his prime. He didn't look like he was in his prime. I wouldn't want to see him in the ring with Tank. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm like, I'm pretty sure Mayweather ain't broke. Because if he broke, he don't look it. But I do know, or the general rule is the more money you make, the more money you spend. So maybe he's trying to, you know, cover a lifestyle of excess. You know what I'm saying? And whatever the fuck. But yeah, man, it wasn't really anything you missed.
Yeah, I mean,
to be totally honest with you.
I don't think he's trying to cover his lifestyle at this point, because he would have been doing... He probably would have took some more bigger prizes, you know what I'm saying, and came back for real and took a bigger prize. But I think he just doing it because he can. Shit, I can make 30, 40 million this weekend by, you know what I'm saying, you know, doing some cardio on a nigga, you know what I mean? So why yeah, not?
That's exactly what it looked like.
You know what I'm saying? Why not, nigga? I've been doing this all my life. So my value,
I just think it's fucking his brand up.
What's his brand? What's his brand? Rich as fuck. That's his brand.
Rich as fuck, but the best ever, undefeated. Even though his brand ain't the, you know, he got his, you know, he got his shit that people feel about him or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he is still a Hall of Fame fighter, a prestige champion. Whether or not he want to recognize that, he's one of the best of all time, right? And he's sharing his platform with motherfucking people that have done two fights. Mm-hmm. What is going on? Like, yo, that everybody, you can't mix with everybody. Man. I get it, but it's just, it's like, that shit start to look a little sloppy after a while. My look nigga. A little, you know, a little right. janky promoter.
All right,
go ahead.
All right, listen to this shit right here. The money fight. He received a purse guarantee of $100 million, while his opponent received a guarantee of $30 million. However, Mayweather said that his pay-per-view earnings brought his total earnings to $350 million.
Okay, well, shit.
Oh, no. Hold on. That was Conor McGregor. Hold on.
Okay, because I'm about to say.
Hold on, that was Conor McGregor.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know nobody that bought this fight.
Hold on. But this is an article about this fight. I was just reading the cliff notes.
Yeah.
All right. Therefore, even though the purse is unknown, it appears he will undoubtedly earn more than $25 million from the fight based on all these incredible stats. So.
Right. So that's a quarter of what you got with Conor.
Yeah, but that's...
And this cat ain't a quarter of Conor's notoriety, at least for the arena that we in, as far as a fighter goes. But, you know, look, if it's for the money, it's for the money. But after a while, it start looking like it's for the money.
And then people will stop paying for it.
Yeah, that's my point.
But right now...
You start...
If a nigga took home $30 million just for a light cardio, nigga, that's value.
Yeah, but if your brand taking a hit.
It was his brand. His brand ain't taking a hit.
You don't know what the
hit. His professional career is locked, set, stone.
Yeah, I guess.
That's like.
But I wanted to feel like something.
Yeah.
Like when Mayweather say, yo. I'm coming out of retirement. I'm doing the thing. You want it to feel, because the special is what you leverage. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the shit ain't special no more. It's just like, yeah, come on, bro. You just did one shit last week with fucking Joe Blow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But that, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. The bread is the bread. And again, like I say, I do think that's part of, you know, that's how they define themselves too. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, let me do some cardio on a nigga. Which is hilarious.
They say this nigga during all these exhibitions is getting $1 million just for coming to the press conferences.
Yeah, I believe that.
And answering calls about the fight. Man, that nigga is exploiting his value, man. That nigga is exploiting his catalog like a record company.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
You don't like that they letting all these niggas sample they shit. They like, nigga.
Right.
Shit.
This shit is too many commercials. He in a commercial for cat food. You like, what is this? They don't need to do this.
Nigga, you let them old drill niggas sample your shit out of Jacksonville, Florida?
Right.
Nigga.
Yeah.
Shit, yep, we sure did.
You should see the check they gave us.
You know what I'm saying? The one that keep coming in the mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's crazy.
Yeah, but you know, everybody doing what they do, man. Shit, I would just hope to have something to exploit for, you know what I'm saying? Some yeah. million.
Anyway. Oh, man. What else is good with you?
Man, I went to the grocery store this weekend just to throw something light. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Throw something light on the grill, a little personal. You know what I'm saying?
Man, I
bought a steak, but then I was gonna make the kids some hamburgers, and then my daughter, you know, she back and forth about she a vegetarian and all that, so. So I was, you know, I saw the Beyond Burgers. I'm like, oh shit, let me see what these Beyond Burgers talking about. See what they could do on the grill, and like some Beyond like sausage links, you know. And I bought, you know, of course, some fucking hamburger buns, and got down some hot dogs and some hot dog buns. That's it, nigga. That's it. I got up to the register. Woo woo woo. That shit was $80. Hey, I'm like, wait. Hey, I got to the car, nigga. I was like, man, I want to take all this shit back and start over, nigga. I played myself, nigga. God, somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't go in the grocery store mindlessly no more. You know what I'm saying? Because the shit be, dog. If your ass ain't in produce or in the real meat section, you going to get played, nigga. Cause yeah, I swear I done did a better job on some, just, you know what I'm saying, some real food, and you know, a couple of, you know what I mean, just the basics, chicken, some meat, blah blah blah, woo woo woo, produce section, staying out them middle aisles and shit like that, staying out them boxes and packaged goods, and been good. You know what I'm saying? Had about 10-12 meals out of that shit. $100. That shit, man, that you got to be more careful, man. You got to pay attention. Because $80 on some hamburgers and hot dogs, nigga. Woo, I was reading.
So the fake shit costs more than the real shit now.
Yeah,
huh?
the fake shit costs more than the real shit, dog.
Yeah, that's wild. You know, I feel you on that grocery store shit. I was just telling somebody the other day, I went to the grocery store the other day. I don't know if it's the shit with DeSantis going on in Florida or whatever. I don't know for sure because I don't think they a Florida-based fruit, but grapes are expensive as fuck right now.
Yeah.
I stay getting grapes every time I go to the grocery store. These shits went up 100%. Shits went up 100. Like, I grocery shop enough to where I'm like Warren Buffett. Like, I know what the ticker is. I know what's going on. I see what's popping. You know, this shit was outrageous. That made me say shit like, I said, damn, I still got them. You know what I mean? But, man, I don't know what's going on in the grape union or whatever. What's the situation, the controversy? This shit felt great. It felt like a response to something. I hope this is not where we going grape-wise, because then I might have to pick a whole new fruit. I have to get back to bananas. Hey. Bananas stay kind of cheap, but grapes, I don't know what the fuck is going on. But, yeah, man, I agree with that vent. I know where you're at with that shit, man. You got to be... You gotta be careful in these grocery stores.
I don't even remember the last time I bought a raw chicken pack of chicken wings from the store. Cause bro. You know what I'm saying? I forget what era. I don't know if it was the recession era, but somewhere along the line, I went to buy a pack of chicken, man. And the chicken wings, I was like, nigga, I could get the chicken cooked for cheaper than this. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I could buy a motherfucking bucket of this shit for this price. But what the fuck going on? I stopped buying that shit, dog. I just stopped, man. And cold turkey, like, man, fuck them. I don't even look at them shit. I don't even look to see if the shits went down no more. I'm like, man, fuck that shit. Y'all niggas ain't finna get me. Man, y'all niggas just doing this shit because I'm black, nigga. Because I know I done went to my...
Susceptible.
Yeah, nigga, I done went to, like, Trader Joe's, and they only had, like, the smaller packs. But what I be looking at is, like, the price per pound. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This shit
right.
don't be the same price per pound in the white neighborhoods, man. And, of course, it's supply and demand, but, man, you ain't finna get me, man. Fuck this shit. I buy my wings in the streets, then.
Price gouging the blacks nigga, with the chicken.
Nigga, you paying that shit and gotta go cook it and season that shit, man. Shit. Fuck that.
Diabolical.
Man, y'all niggas can have that. Man.
That's crazy.
The one thing that hurt me though. Nigga, the motherfucking king crabs, right? King crabs, nigga, them shits used to be about They was about 24 pound at one point, like pre-pandemic, 2019, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pre-pandemic, 24, 22, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Go ahead, you know what I'm saying, bust them down, get busy. My nigga, somewhere early 21, them shits went to $64 a pound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
And it hurt me. But I had to do the same shit. Yeah. I'm like, man, fuck them. Fuck that, nigga. Them niggas shit.
Give me some imitation crap.
Shit ain't nothing but roaches of the sea any motherfucker way.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
I just had some this week. Not king, but I had some blues.
I did. Right around about now, maybe about a month ago, I caught some. They was right about $30 a pound. Which was, you know what I'm saying?
Stock up.
Nah, I ain't want to stock it up, but I did indulge right quick, you know what I'm saying, and level up.
Okay.
But I will boycott. I'll switch my diet on a motherfucker. Yeah, motherfuckers talk hilarious. Shit. I'll switch my whole shit. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. I feel you. Yeah, sometimes I find myself taking inflation personal.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo, we got it. What the fuck is Biden doing?
You know what I'm saying?
I get upset. I get real upset. I have a breakdown in the produce section. I tell you, though, I think the trick is, go to the butcher shops.
Nah, I get it. But
butcher shops. Yeah.
They there, but you know. They ain't always convenient.
that's true. That's why they
stop.
Right, yeah.
But I haven't, I found it was one butcher shop that I went to out here. They was cool. They ain't have a big, wide selection. They was like more like a boutique. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Some cut of the days type shit. Like, nigga, where the rest of the shit at?
Right. They could only get half the cow. Yeah, that's crazy. That's wild.
That shit.
Oh, man. He said, where the rest of the shit? What you do with the sleeves? Where the sleeves at? You just said selling wife beaters. Oh, shit. This man said he quit chicken cold turkey.
And they,
that's funny as hell.
That shit was cold turkey, nigga. Oh, shit. Y'all niggas ain't finna get me.
Right.
I went to a farmer's market, man. You know, I'm thinking farmers market. I'm thinking Prospect Park. You know what I'm talking about? You know, Union Square.
Right. Yeah.
We pulled up to this shit. It was a storefront. And
that's the new thing now. They call it a farmer's market, but it be indoors.
It be indoors.
It'd be like a fucking grocery store. Yeah,
but this was like a little one. It's like a bodega size farmer's market.
Gotcha.
So go up in the motherfucker and my nigga, it ain't shit in there, bro. Like, I don't think out of the whole store, I probably could have made one soup. You know what I'm saying? With some potatoes, they had a couple of onions. You know what I'm saying? It's bell peppers. I'm like, man, mm-hmm. this nigga says taking the farm out of the farmer's market because this can't be it. My wife talking about. Did you look around? I was like, shit. When I walked in, I looked around. Ain't shit in this motherfucker. Ain't shit to look at.
Right. Shit. Did it in one glance. Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying? Shit. He used farmer's market. He used to get some, you know what I'm saying? Some apple cider over here, some homemade honeys with some bees and shit, making honey right before your eyes. Nah.
Right.
This shit was a couple of taters, onions, and some pre-made cold pressed juices, nigga.
he the middleman. Right. He ain't a real farmer.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Nigga ran down to Publix, grabbed some potatoes, put these bitches in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Trying to resell them bitches like Nikes.
Hell yeah, word. That's crazy. Marking up the kale.
Man,
that's wild as shit.
There's been a lot of that shit out here. Like, went to another health food store one time. Like, you know, like a little natural foods, blah, blah, as they skip. And it was, you know, it was empty.
Right.
And we went in there, and they was like, oh, man, you right on time. And I'm like, well, what happened? Yeah, they just dropped off our food. I'm like, nigga, how is you a restaurant getting the food dropped off?
You get Uber Eats. Yeah, that's wild.
I'm like,
that's wild.
Oh, wow, man. And I understand, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, everybody ain't got the finances and the resources and the credit. But come on, man. You shouldn't have said that. You at least
at least keep the illusion up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take the shits out the pan, out the little aluminum foil pan, and put it in a pot. You know what I'm saying? Have it simmering on the motherfucker stove. Something. I do that shit at my own house when I have people over and I go to Publix and get some wings. I'm going to take that shit out the pan, put it in a nice ceramic bowl, put the shits in the
oven.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Not like I fried it, but I mean, you don't want the presentation
to be.
The presentation to be, I just went down to Publix and got some of this fried chicken.
Yeah. Still got the price tag on the shit.
At least, keep a nigga guessing.
right. That's funny. Oh shit, that is hilarious.
Oh, man.
Oh shit. All right, man. We in this bitch. We gonna burn out. But you know what? Next week. Well, first off, because next week I want to talk about The Idol. I started watching The Idol, and it's interesting. I'll just leave it at that because we already
that's the shit this weekend.
That's the weekend shit. You should check it out,
so we can chop it up.
It's only two episodes. All only right. two episodes oh, so far, up. So it ain't too far. You can catch up. It's very interesting because I want to know what your take is on that. Shout out to Peter Joseph. I know he was talking about, he suggested Top Boy and Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, we got another, somebody else suggested something else I'm trying to find. But, while we're looking for some new shit to recap on the pod, keep them suggestions coming. But, yeah, we probably talk about The Idol next week. That shit should be interesting. And it seems like, I mean, it still might be a legend. I don't know if it's all the way, the ink is dry, but it looks like Tyler Perry bought BET.
Yeah, man, so, that's what they're saying.
You know what I mean? So we're going to see Madea in the BET cypher this summer. You know what I mean? So that's going to be interesting. And last, real quick, just saw some real quick shit that just some closure. Method Man was on The Breakfast Club. He said the reason that Redman wasn't on Power is because he ain't want to get the shot.
Oh, wow.
And he was Kyrie.
Man of principles.
I can't be mad at it. Yeah, absolutely. You know, shout out to Brick City, the man Redman or whatever. So that's that. Shit, we out until next week. Tell a friend to shit. Rest in peace to the Iron Sheik, though. I do want to say that, man. Iron Sheik, legendary wrestler, WWF era, 80s, early 90s, you know what I mean? Probably even before that, the camel clutch, that was his finishing move. One of the illest fucking finishing moves of all time. Crazy on Twitter, you know, and he passed away. So, yeah, rest in peace, Iron Sheik, man. That was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. I might have even had one of the his action figures.
Oh wow, that's what's up.
One of the wrestling joints. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But listen, till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend,
and even an enemy,
to get in the conversation. We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.